Heavenly Father, Jesus made it so clear in many ways, and we have his words and we remember them. And you said there'd be a special blessing on those that mourn. And I'm praying that through your Spirit's power, an abundance of that blessing will be for those here that are mourning. And the truth is they will be comforted. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't you want to sing that song, Shout to the Lord? Just inspiring. Don't you want to get straight down and eat some of that Greek food? Can smell it now. Bev down there cooking away, warming up things that everybody brought, all the special cooks we have. It just doesn't get any better than us. You're living in peacetime Christianity, and I'm telling you, it doesn't get any better than us. Jim is the one that inspired me on this sermon. I preached three, and he caught one or two of them, and then gave me a page full of notes and what he thought about what the last sermon was about, so that's what this sermon's about. So it's your fault. So Galatians 5:1, if we can get it on the screen at some point, would be great. King James or New King James will work. If you'll take your bulletin, there is a section in it that should be blank for sermon notes. And what I'm going to do, this sermon will make more sense to you if you'll draw a line right down the center of the notes column. And then I'll give you words and phrases you can put on either side. I'll give you a word for the left, and then a word for the right, and a word for the left, and the word. And then when I'm done, you'll be able to look at what I'm talking about, and it'll make sense to you. And you can write Galatians 4 at the top. Because you will not understand Galatians 5:1 unless you go backwards and you look at Galatians 4 for a minute. Just a minute. And I don't guarantee it very often, but I'll guarantee I'm going to have you out at lunch, 12 o'clock. If you're worried, or if you're getting so hungry you don't think you can make it to 12:01. Now, if you fellowship for 30 minutes in the fellowship hall before you eat, that's your business, but I'm getting you out of here. Because if I can't say what I have to say in 20 minutes, I need to sit down. I didn't get one amen for that. Amen. No, amen. That's what I was hoping to hear. Amen. We're trying to recover. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And here's the warning. Don't be entangled again with the things you have liberty over. Don't go backwards. You've been set free. You've got liberty. Don't go backwards. Now, I'm a realist, and sometimes we do go backwards. But I'm praying for you, and I hope you'll pray for me that I don't spend too much time going backwards. Okay? Anybody have that experience? Gone backwards for a little bit and said, you know what? This isn't working. Jesus was right. I'm going ahead. And I realize I need power in this area to keep moving forward. So if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. A few famous quotes regarding liberty. Liberty is the proper end and object of authority and cannot subsist without it, and it is liberty to which that which is good, just, and honest. John Winthrop. It is seldom that liberty of any kind is lost all at once. David Hume. And I want you to tell me who this is by, Doug. If life is so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains or slavery, forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me... There you have it. This one's going to shock you, but I think it's absolutely true. George Bernard Shaw. Liberty means responsibility. That is why most men dread it. Too little liberty brings stagnation, and too much liberty brings chaos. I don't get that one either. That's Bertrand Russell. And this one I really like, and it's from Anonymous. You know how some of the famous sayings are just anonymous? What is up with that? It's like an angel came down and said, you're not getting it, so here's an anonymous for you. I don't understand it. But this one's right on the point, and it's right on Scripture. And if you load up Galatians 4, we're going there next. Galatians 4, it's going to take us a minute to get there. Galatians 4 and verse 5 is where we're going to start. Liberty is the right to choose, and freedom is the result of a right choice. That's anonymous. See, it's heavenly. It hits that place. It couldn't be a human that wrote this. It had to be some angel. Liberty is the right to choose. Freedom is the result of the right choice. I mean, who could figure that one out? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 4, verse 5. Galatians 4, verse 5 says, in the King James anyway, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption. So on the left column, right under the law, and in the right column, right adoption. You're going to notice a pattern as we go through a few verses. Under the law, on the left, and what's the other word? Adoption on the right. Okay, now we're going to verse 7. Now remember, we're talking about liberty, so chapter 4 builds up for that 5 verse 1 in the next chapter. Wherefore, you are no longer a slave, and I'll put child here, gender neutral, but a child, and if a child, then a what? An heir of God, how? So on the left, write down slave, and in the right column, write heir. You're seeing something develop here. You've got adoption. What's under adoption? Heir. And on the other side, you have under the law, and what's the other? Slave under the law. You see how it's starting to develop? Now verse 21, chapter 4, verse 21. Verse 21. Tell me, you that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Those of you that desire to be under the law, do you hear the law? So in the left column, right, again, under the law. And then in the right column, put down, hear the law. Left column under it, right column hearing it. Now verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman and the other by the free woman. So on the left column, write bondwoman, and the right column, write free woman. Bondwoman, free woman. Verse 23 is next. And we've already got bondwoman. Verse 23 says, but he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. So on the left column, write flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. So put free woman in the right column. You should have flesh and free woman. Bondwoman in the flesh, exactly the same thing, different way of phrasing it. Free woman in the right. Now verse 29. I'm sorry? Promise is good, but it figures in with spirit. So if you study it out, you'll find that promise and spirit are identical in context and in result. So I didn't choose to put promise in at this point. But that's an excellent observation, and build on that. Get your concordance out and dig through that. It's very rewarding. Okay, what verse are we on now? 29? But he who was born according to the flesh, again, flesh on the left column, then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. Put spirit in the right column. Flesh and spirit. And then we'll look at verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So bondwoman in the left and free in the right. And now you've got the complete pattern of chapter 4 for the context of this sermon, which is Galatians 5, verse 1. We're looking at liberty. So you should have on the one column in the left, under the law, slave, bondwoman, the flesh. They're all the same. Those are all the same meaning. If you exhaust that in the scripture, you'll find they all have the same meaning and the same result. And then in the right column, you should have adoption, heir, hearing the law, free woman, spirit, and then free. Under the law, I am condemned. As a slave, I have no chance of freedom. The bondwoman is my earthly heritage. That's what I was born into. The flesh, if you look at it there in the left column, the flesh is my personal, and it's my primary focus in everything that I do. It's a completely lost condition. Completely lost. No hope. So conversely, in the right column, you have adoption, heir, hearing the law, which is completely different than the flesh or the bondwoman. Then you have the free woman, spirit, and then free. All of these things are positive. All these things are amazingly gifts to everyone that's in this room. And I'm assuming you're all living in liberty. So in adoption, I'm justified, whereas before I was condemned. As an heir, now I have a legal inheritance instead of no chance for freedom as a slave. Now no longer am I living under the law, I'm hearing the law, which means I'm not guilty because now I can hear it, and I'm not guilty because it can't condemn me any longer because I hear it and now I'm listening. Huge difference between being in slavery. Huge difference. The free woman is now my new heritage. I have liberty now. The free woman is my heritage. I don't have to obey the bondwoman any longer. Can you see why Paul moves ahead? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that you have now. The Spirit says, in the right-hand column there, the Spirit says that I have a new focus with power. Not just a new focus, but a new focus with power. Power that can tell the bondwoman, sorry, I got a new mom. Go away. Power that can say to any of the negatives in the left-hand column, sorry, I got a new heritage. I've inherited it all. I don't have to look back on what I inherited as in the flesh. And then freedom, what could freedom possibly represent? In the right column, I'm not born of the bondwoman, but of the free, it means I'm free to choose Christ in all of it. Now we can begin to understand what Paul is saying in Galatians 5, verse 1. Now we have a little bit of an inkling of what he was meaning. Paul is telling the Galatians to stand fast in the gospel that he originally gave them. Salvation by faith directly in Christ. That's what we believe here in this church. It means you don't have to be saved through me or by listening to me or Jim Ball either. Amen. Amen. Or anybody else in the congregation. I'm not saved because of what you think or what you believe. I'm saved because I have a relationship with Christ. So now I'm following him. And the amazing thing is that everybody in this room is doing the same thing. That's why we even get along. There's an amen right there. Praise the Lord. Paul is also telling them, and this is a huge point, Paul is also telling them to ignore the children of the bondwoman. Put Galatians 5:1 back on the screen if you would. And you say to yourself, I don't remember reading that in that verse. Well, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In other words, don't listen to the Judaizers. Don't listen to those people that want to bury you with your previous heritage. Because it's bondage. Look at your left column. Everything you wrote in your left column will be yours again if you listen to the Judaizers. And I'm going to explain who they are in a minute. But the Judaizers want to drag you backwards into the left column, which is bondage, slavery, all of the things we mentioned. Jesus said it this way, if you'll give me John 8:31-3. And let's see what Jesus had to say about it. And you'll recall this conversation. John 8:31-33. See, the Judaizers, their whole goal is to re-entangle you with bondage and drag you down and make you subservient to them. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. Now, this is an interesting group of Jews. They believed on him, but you're going to see something interesting here in a minute. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you're right column believers. Look at your right column. This is what he's saying here. You prove me wrong when you go home tonight. These are right column believers. If you will continue in my word, then you're my disciples, and I'm giving you everything in the right column that you've written down. Next verse. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Interesting. Next verse. Then they answered him, we don't know who you are, but we're Abraham's seed, and we've never been in bondage to any man. So you're Seventh-day Adventists, huh? You really think you are? Jesus has a thought for you. Oh, we be third-generation Adventists, and we ain't never been in bondage to anybody. And Jesus said, okay, whatever. So you don't think you've ever been in bondage? You don't think you're in bondage right now? That's between you and God. Think about it. But here's a group of individuals that had something to say to Jesus. How are you saying to us that if we'll just listen to you and continue on with what you're teaching, we're going to be free? We've never been in bondage. This is amazing. This is an amazing thing. Does anybody know what the Judaizers were in bondage to? Anybody want to take a shot at it?
Legalism.
Legalism, what? Their heritage, what? Self themselves? Tradition. What else? Go ahead, Niall. The law, absolutely right. Anybody else? Unbelief, exactly. What else? You remember the last couple sermons, don't you? What else? Anybody else want to go ahead? No. There it is, self. Anybody else want to take a shot? Go ahead. No? Tradition. Let me suggest this to you. The Judaizers were in bondage to a false gospel of unscriptural theories about sin and salvation. Amen. They were in bondage to a false gospel of unscriptural theories about sin and salvation. Now, Galatians 5:1 again. If we are to stand fast, then don't you think firm ground would be pretty helpful?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Firm ground will be helpful, and firm ground begins here. Salvation by faith directly in Christ. Irregardless of how much I think I know about the Scriptures and its interpretation, I have to continue growing in Christ or I'm in trouble. I will be like the Judaizers that said, I don't know what you're talking about, but I've been studying the Bible a long time, and you don't really know as much as I do, and I've never been in bondage to anybody, so whatever. You know, I've been an Adventist a long time now, so don't mess with me. I got the biggest King James marked up. You just forget it. You want to argue with me? Bring it on. See, it's the wrong attitude. The attitude we need is completely opposite. Completely opposite. 2 Peter says it this way, and if you'll throw 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 on the screen, 2 Peter 3, verse 18 says this. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow, that's so simple. That's so easy. Completely the opposite of, hey, we've never been in bondage to anybody. Who do you think you are? We've never been in bondage to anybody. Like the Galatians, we've come out of bondage, and if you say, I've never been in bondage to anyone, think again. And again, we're called to stand fast with the gospel that we have been given. You forget everybody else's gospel because everybody else's gospel applied to them then. You start living to the gospel you've been given today. And if you got fresh light from the Lord this morning, I want to hear it. Everybody else's gospel got us to where we're at now, but everybody else's gospel isn't going to get us ahead. Are you with me? Is anybody with me here? You've been Adventist for how long? You think that's going to carry on through? Jesus is telling you it isn't. You need fresh light. You need inspiration from him, not me. Now, I might be here flapping my mouth, but you're going to have to go home and say, do I really want to be an Adventist? Because that church is really not working for me. I've been an Adventist too long. I've never been in bondage, so I'm leaving. Whatever. I want to suggest to you that if we don't stand fast with the gospel that we've been given, we're going to abandon it and we're going to be vulnerable to unscriptural theories about sin and salvation. You don't think we're getting out at noon, do you? Look at James chapter 4, verse 17. James 4. 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. This sin is a conscious return to bondage. What does salvation by faith directly in Christ look like? Here's what it looks like. I'm justified in Christ. I have a legal inheritance in Christ. It means I am listening to and hearing the law, which says to me, when I look at the law and I hear the law says, you need Jesus. Because you can't keep me. I can point you to the direction, and I'm a great school teacher, but you need Jesus. You stay with me, you're never going to make it. How many of you know that? I'm encouraged. So I'm hearing the law, not like my old heritage where I couldn't hear the law. I can hear the law now, and now I hear it saying, I'm not guilty, because now I've got Christ on my side. So I'm not guilty. I have a new heritage. The Spirit has given me a new focus and power, and I have the freedom to choose Christ no matter what happens. We're 2 minutes over. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your love. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that keeps bringing the conviction to us that we need you. We pray, Father, that you continue to guide us, continue to help us, that we might stand with you no matter what. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.